Good morning, church, and shalom. We really want to thank God for the far we have come. We have been looking at the revelation that Jesus gave John so that the church or the bride of Jesus would be able to know what Jesus had already done for them or for us, to die for us, and to buy our salvation, and also what Jesus was doing and is still doing, preparing the church or her bride, his bride, so that he'll be able to take them where he has gone to prepare a place for them. And then he was to also give a vision, number three, of future, what will take place soon, after he has prepared a place for them and after he has prepared the people. So Jesus is doing two things as today as a high priest, a royal high priest, a reigning high priest. He is preparing a place just as in John 14. This is what he promised the disciples, that I go to my Father, I prepare a place, and once the place is prepared, I will come for you. So he is preparing a place for us, but he is also preparing us for that place. But in the meantime, he has revealed to us how his bride has continued to displace Jesus from the center of the church. Remember, we have been looking at seven churches, which are seven eras or seven dispensation of the church. Beginning from the time of the church at Ephesus, where Jesus was found in the midst of the seven lampstands. Lampstands are the seven churches, and he was moving inside them. He was at the center of the church. And that is the will of Jesus, that he want to be at the center of the church here on earth. Didn't he not promise the disciples in Matthew 28 that go to all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them to follow what I have commanded you? And then he said, then lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age. Now, we are in the end of the age. This is the end of the age. The promise of Jesus is that he would be at the center of his bride. That is his promise. He says, we are two or three are gathered in my name, I am with them. And so this is desire. But unfortunately, we see the Jesus being in the middle. But the last time we see Jesus, the church of Laodicea, which we want to check today, in the book of Revelation 3 from verses 14 to 22, we see Jesus outside his church knocking to be let in. This is the most pathetic situation and picture that can ever be portrayed. Verse 20, he is saying that he stands outside the door and he knocks. And he still desires to come back to his church, at the middle of the church. He wants to be made the king. He wants the church to recognize him as the one who is at the middle. And he's knocking. Unfortunately, the church uses this analogy for the unbelievers, that when we go to preach and we are speaking to unbelievers and we are saying Jesus is outside and he is knocking at the heart of at the door of your heart, open, and he comes in. Probably it could mean for them, but it was not meant for the unbelievers. This statement was written for her, for his bride. Jesus saying, I want to come and dine with you. I want to come and stay with you. Now, here, I want you to take a picture of this last church where Jesus is found in, you know, outside. And I was thinking of an example which I have given some times ago, of that the church in the book of Acts, the church in the latter times, or the church of these last days, And I'm not talking about the one that is spoken by the Mormons, the one that they call themselves the Church of the Latter Days. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the church that Jesus said, I'll be with you until the end of the age. This end of age is called the church age, is called the kingdom age, is called, the last day age before we get to the next age. But here I have compared this church where it began in the book of Acts as Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit being the driver. The church as a vehicle. Jesus was the driver. And the bride was the co-driver. And we had carried other members. You know, the leaders of the church were the co-drivers. And we had carried all the other members inside that vehicle called the church. And this vehicle was moving, carrying the blessing inside. It was full of blessing, and it was to go to all the nations of the world, as Jesus said, carrying the blessings. But unfortunately, this is what happened. As the Holy Spirit was driving this vehicle on behalf of God, God the Holy Spirit, Godhead, what happened is that the leaders of the church decided that they can drive. They wanted to drive the church. And because Jesus does not force himself, so the leaders sometimes came to the driving seat, and they made God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to be the co-driver. Now you can see the church is still going, and the Holy Spirit is still, controlling, all advising, because the leadership took the control. Not only that, as the church proceeded, being led by this man of God, not Jesus, we continue picking some people and we brought them in the church inside, even before they were born again. And Jesus was actually moved from the driving seat to the co-driver seat. Then he was taken to the back seat, or to the passenger seat. And as they continued, they put people inside, took the place of Jesus. Then Jesus was taken, not the back seat, he was taken to the boot, the cargo's boot. And finally, continued putting a trash inside the church, and Jesus was thrown outside the church, outside the vehicle, of his own vehicle, and the vehicle is moving. So this, the church of Laodicea, is describing this kind of a church. And Paul was able to speak about this same church in 2 Timothy and verses and chapter 3. He was telling Timothy this: you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there's a church being all of Laodicea, was being spoken by Paul, will be very difficult. Why will it be difficult? For people will love only themselves and their money. Isn't that what he has talked about in the book of Laodicea? They love only themselves and only their money. They'll be boastful and proud. They'll be scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, so be reckless and puffed up with pride, just like the church of Laodicea, and love pleasure rather than God. That's what this church of Laodicea was being described. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that make them godly. This is where the Bible says that they are not cold and they are not hot. And just said, I'll spill you out. Timothy told Paul, Paul told Timothy, sorry, stay away from people like that. So this is what Paul was describing this church as the Laodicean church. It is a very troublesome church. Is the church at the last days? Is the church as it is now? It is a lukewarm fellowship. Is the church, that is neither hot, neither cold, as we got in the book of, Revelation. This church is described from the book of Revelation as lukewarm. It is neither hot nor cold. It was rich materially, or it was a materialistic church, but was an entertaining church. You know, they were not concerned about righteousness, not concerned about holiness. They're not concerned about, worshiping God and piety. It is about their preaching is entertaining. Their singing is entertaining. Their dancing is entertaining. Everything we do is just for entertainment. We have got a lot of things we bring in for ourselves. Remember, Jesus is not inside. They love pleasure, as we have just seen Paul to Timothy. We love pleasure, and but Jesus is outside the door. It's a complacent fellowship. It's a compromising fellowship. It does not have vision because it is guided by man, but not by the Holy Spirit. It is secular, but it has removed God from every institution. It's a man-made fellowship. Jesus promised that he would want to dine with us once we open. We have already led Jesus outside here. And so, how did Jesus describe himself in this church? What did he say? He introduced himself. And then he says, I am the Amen. That is, I am who I am. I am the Yes. I'm not like you. He says that yes, the bridegroom introduced himself as the faithful and a true witness. This is what we are supposed to be. We are supposed to have the image of our bridegroom. Who is the faithful one? And he is the true witness, that Jesus. Then he says the beginning of God's creation. He is the one who created everything. And then he had described this church with what I've just said. So Jesus rebuked them because of their lukewarmness. They did not have spiritual, well, they were poor. But unfortunately, they thought that they were rich. There's nothing as bad as what we call self, deception. You deceive yourself. So this church, in one word, was a self-deceiving fellowship. You know, the church, as maybe Sadiz, was the church that was hypocritical because it was deceiving others. It was deceiving others that it was, they were alive. They had a testimony that they were alive, but Jesus had told them that they were dead, and what was there was dying. So they were lying to others. But this church is lying to themselves. It is self-deception. This is where the church of Jesus Christ is. Self-deceived. They have at least three problems. According to what Jesus advised them to do, they have a problem with the spiritual wealth. They are poor people, but they think they are rich. That's a number one problem of this church. They think they are rich, but they are poor. Now, they think that they are right or righteous, but they have got what we call self-righteousness. And number three, they think they have got sight. But that they can see, but they cannot see. So Jesus advised them that they can come and buy gold refined in fire. That stands in for spiritual wealth. Exchange. You see, as we say that he's knocking at the door, he's saying exchange your poverty for spiritual wealth. There's nothing as important as spiritual wealth to this very day. So if you're self-deceiving, come and buy. And somewhere in Isaiah, the Bible says, come buy without money. In other words, come and take it from Jesus. And why buy? Because it's already bought for us. is already, we have been given the wealth to buy. But number two, Jesus is saying, come and take white cloth. Ours is already soiled. He wants a revival. And Jesus is looking for a revival in those very days. He is looking for a comeback of the church. Come and take that spiritual garment. That is the right standing. And of course, come and take the salve for your eyes. You cannot see. You are driving my vehicle, my wife, but you have spiritual, you don't have spiritual insight. Come and take it. But he promised that if we do that, you come back and die with us. What a great picture we have. Jesus promising that you want to come back. It says, if we do not come back, Jesus will still be able to come and punish us. So may we come and repent before God because of our spiritual sin, this complacency, this lukewarmness of the church. That's where the church is. It is an entertainment church. May God give us the grace. And it is at that point, I tell you, that Jesus said that because of the increase of wickedness, the love of many shall grow cold. And at this time, we are ripe for the rapture. At this time, we are ripe for Jesus to come back. Rapture, as you discover from tomorrow, is a time to come and do factory reset. It's a time to come and cleanse all these messes that man and the bride of Jesus Christ has put. We have put a lot of programs that are anti-God. Jesus is coming to cleanse them. And the way he does it is to take his church first away, and he continue to do that. Father, help us to really look unto you, and we repent of our lukewarmness and our sin of complacency. We repent of the sin of throwing you outside your fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.